Yeah, I would like to have somebody from the employment division to come up, and I think we all understand that if we put these amendments in, the bill will die. I don't think there's any question of that. What we need to know is, what will happen if we don't pass this bill? Who's gonna get hurt? And why do we need to pass it?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Verlina Crosby, the Director for Employment Department, and to Senator Durfer's question. As you know, the governor has vetoed a bill that specifically deals with this question, and so we have had to think about that. The particular bill in its original form dealt with a case called the Potter decision. And I will ask Annette to kind of walk you through the pieces, but basically why we introduced it as a policy discussion for the legislature is we believe that there is a potential that if that case is applied in our current service delivery for the unemployment insurance, that it can drive up costs for employers and would allow people that would not otherwise be covered under unemployment or receive benefits to actually get benefits. And I'll have her walk you through those instances.
Mr. Chair, Annette Talbot, Legislative Coordinator for the Employment Department. I believe that Ms. Crosley has described that the risk that we worry about is that this case would be extended by the court to the extent that the party's characterization of what happened would control. And I think that the example I'd probably given before is that even in a health insurance example where the insurance policy governs whether something's covered or not, not the employer and the employee who are the, kind of the parties to the policy. The insurance company, which we are, needs to be able to make a decision based on the facts of the case and apply its policy, in this case our statutes and our law, our administrative rules, to the facts of the case. And what the case seemed to suggest in dicta, not in its holding specifically, but what the case seemed to suggest was that the party's characterization of the facts would restrict our ability to make a decision based on the law and the administrative rules. And we find that a little bit troublesome because one employer's decision can adversely affect all of the other employers who might have charges assessed against them as well. Oftentimes there's more than one employer in someone's base year. So when one employer lays off someone and says, oh yeah, well I think it's okay, I know you need to quit, but I'll say that I laid you off. All the other employers in their base year, their experience rating could be adversely affected. So if the case was extended to that extent, we would worry that some employers' experience rating would be adversely affected through no fault of their own. We believe we need to be able to look behind the facts the way that the parties characterize them and really apply the law to the facts of the case. And the Potter case suggests that that's something that we couldn't do if the parties characterized it in a certain manner. So the risk is that in the next 2 years before the next session that that case will be pushed to that extent and we might not be able to address that through our rules and statute.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Annette, is this sort of thing that's more likely to happen, say, in construction work, where they go from job to job to job? And that's part of the work.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, it is more likely in any case where the employee has a significant number of base year employers, absolutely.
There's a lot of employers that fall into that category.
In Oregon, we have a large number of seasonal employers, so to the extent that people do go from one seasonal job to another, that would be the case.
Farmers could well fall into that as well.
So, again, if I might. If this bill doesn't pass, or it gets used by the governor, then there's a fair possibility that the experience rating for employers will go down so that their rates will go up.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fleur, their experience rating would be affected because they would have more claims, and their experience rating would be affected, so their charges, yes, could go up. That's correct.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Durfo, we do not know how much that would be because the case is a fairly new case and has not been in application, if you will, very long. So I couldn't tell you how much that would be, but clearly it would happen, I believe, if it did get generally applied.
When in 97 was this case decided?
Mr. Chair, just 1 second. I have a copy of the case in the file. It was submitted and argued in September of 97. And I'm not sure I actually have the date of the decision because the top of the case has been chopped off in the printer. It was in late 97.
Mr. Chair, members, the case was published in 97, so the decision did come out before the end of the year.
Okay, so in a year and a half plus, there has been no negative impact to employers because of this decision.
Mr. Chair, it often takes a fair number of months for any decision to go through our administrative process, which is three levels. At the first level, the hearings level, the Employment Appeals Board, and then to the Court of Appeals. So it's a fairly prolonged level appeal because we do have those three levels internally before it bumps to the court. But as far as we know, what other cases, I'm not aware of any.
Yeah. The amendments that are being proposed, and I think that the legislature has somewhat been at odds, I think, with the Employment Division on who's an employer, who isn't. And this amendment, I think, that Kevin's introduced addresses some of those issues. And personally, I think this bill is important enough for me to pass, but we also need to address that issue, because I think a lot of legislators don't feel that the Employment Division has been very cooperative in addressing some of what we feel is people being mistreated in the system. Would you have any suggestions how we might address that rather than this draconian thing that we're going to be doing to get this veto?
Mr. Chair, Senator Deerfler, what my understanding is from the governor, and this happened actually last session, because the department, if you look back to at least many different sessions, we took a more neutral stance or a neutral stance on most bills that would allow allowable or what we call impermissible exclusions, those that the federal government doesn't allow but the state takes and allows them to be exempt. We've had many discussions over the years on those, and the department has generally, or the division, has been generally neutral. There were starting to be so many of those, and the magnitude of the people that were covered generally for unemployment came to the governor's attention in his bill signings. And he actually had John Yunker call me aside and tell me that I was to take a more adamant stance against that because it was an erosion of coverage. And what he suggested, at least in his letter when he vetoed this bill or the similar provisions for a different group, not the ones that are here on the amendment, is that the legislature and the governor's office work to look at, like they did in 1989 or in the 1980s, about what type of employees should be covered and should not be covered. Last session, we got a whole lot of discussion about a third sort of prong of employees. You have regular employees, and then you have sort of the non-regular employees. What we are trying to do is apply the law, and even though instances of people who have called some of your offices and tried to understand or get an agreement that we have misapplied the law, in almost every instance, or in the instances that I'm aware of, we have prevailed because we are applying at least the current law. So we believe if the legislature wants to, and it is trying to do that, change the law, then the governor's office is saying that there needs to be a more comprehensive discussion about who is and who is not covered so people go into these types of work more knowledgeable, and that the employers do as well.
Bill, they did veto, and the very thing that you're saying is what happened. They, people in there that would be exempt, and the bill got vetoed. So I guess our assumption is that anything we try to do to change the situation, the governor's going to veto it. I think that's what brings our frustration.
Senator Driffer, I'd like to point out that the Employment Department and the governor worked very closely with a member of my business committee who happened to be a Democrat and got an exemption for his industry this session. So it seems a little bit hypocritical here to say that we'll do it for a certain person or for a certain person's interest, but not another one. So Representative Maddox, first, then Representative
Gardner. Well, in terms of what the courts have done, my understanding, this Caves Roving Pharmacy case, the Employment Division or Employment Department just lost that case in the Court of Appeals.
You did not, Mr. Chair and Representative.
You mean when they remanded it, you didn't lose the case?
That's correct.
So Nancy Cave appealed to the Court of Appeals. They said that you did not properly interpret the statute, and they remanded it with instructions to take a look at the Revenue Department's rulings, and you don't consider that having lost that appeal? Maybe I should have said appeal instead of case.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mannix, we do not believe that we lost it. They did remand it, and they did not apply sort of and go behind facts of the situation. They did ask us to consider.
You have a copy of that there, don't you?
We do. Mm-hmm.
I happen to remember reading the slip opinion, and I remember them saying, and maybe I'm wrong, that the Employment Department erred in its interpretation of 657 or whatever. They didn't say that.
Mr. Chair, I'd be glad to give the committee a copy of the opinion. Representative Maddox, what they did say was they didn't really reach the merits of whether or not the test should apply. They just said we needed to determine whether or not the Department of Revenue's decision was consistent with ours, and if not, why would we not address it? They did not reach the merits of the test, actually.
But you had insisted that you did not need to do that, and they said that you needed to, and they sent it back.
They said we need to explain why we did not, and that is what we will do on remand.
Mr. Chairman, all I can say is in all my practice, of appellate practice, if I have a Court of Appeals decision which says that I didn't do something right, not ruling on the merits, and they sent it back, as far as that appeal goes, my client thinks I lost the case. I might ultimately win the case, or at least I lost the appeal, but I guess there's a difference of interpretation when the Court of Appeals says somebody made a mistake and sends it back for further proceedings. Apparently that is not making a mistake. So I guess I just have to disagree with the Employment Department on that.
Thank you, Representative Gardner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that actually my comment is just taking a little bit of issue with your comment about the governor and keeping consistent. As I recall, being on that committee, that particular bill dealing with fishermen was keeping the state law in line with the federal law, which is consistent with what the Employment Department is saying, is that what we're talking about here is an exemption that goes for just the state and not keeping in line with federal law.
But I also believe, Representative Gardner, that to do this, and we found out with the other bill, the 2238, that would also would have been not in contrast with federal law. The letter from the Department of Labor clearly said you could do that, you could opt people out, and that's not inconsistent with federal law.
The difference, if I may, Mr. Chair, Representative Gardner, was that under federal law for those small fishing crews of 10 or less who didn't only got a percentage of the catch, that they are considered basically non-employees because they're exempt from the withholding and the Social Security and the other federal laws. And you are correct, though, that to the extent that the pharmacist's piece was an impermissible exclusion, it would have meant that they paid a higher federal tax, but we wouldn't have lost our grant or anything at the state level because of that. Mr. Chair, I don't know if you're familiar with the governor's letter on 2238, but he did, to address Senator Durfler's point, is more than willing to address over the interim how we approach these issues in future sessions so that the legislature and the governor will have some guidance about, you know, who should be in and who shouldn't be. And if we can revise the 1989 independent contractor test to reflect some new realities and that there's some bipartisan support on that, that would be a perfect thing that we would be more than happy to do over the interim so that the frustration that you're feeling, hopefully we could get to some resolution on that over the interim and have some guidance.
Thank you, Representative Matt.
Well, if we want to talk about that, I don't think we need to wait to the interim. If we want to do a policy across the board clarification, why don't we just take 657-040-1B and change the word and to or, And then we'd be taking care of the policy issue, because then it allows a free flow. It goes back to the traditional direction and control test that's been the common law test forevermore, although we have a statutory provision that's different, so we end up with these issues.
Mr. Chair, Representative Maddox, I don't believe that that common law test, we've never had the just sole direction and control test, but again, that would be something we would be, I think, have a substantive discussion over the interim on what is the level of control you want to have and what other things do you want to look at about whether or not that worker is independently working. Do they have an independently established business, or are they economically dependent on that employer? And we would be more than happy to review that, because I think that, I know that both Senator Durfler and Representative Maddox were around in 1989 when we spent a whole interim before the 89 session looking at who is an independent contractor and who isn't, and we crafted that statutory test. It took a lot of time.
It doesn't work.
And if it doesn't work, then, and I think the governor's position is, let's revisit why it doesn't work and revisit the test and not individual categories of employees. And we'll be glad to do that over the interim, because I think that would be helpful to us as well.
So the thing that I would suggest to you, Ned, is that this has been a problem for, I know, for the last two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why we probably haven't addressed that already. If that's, if you recognize that as a problem, I guess how many times do we have to show our frustration before we can get the agency to respond?
I think, Mr. Chair and Senator Durfler, that I could say definitively that as a director, I would not know from the bills that have been introduced what it is that the legislature wants, because we have gone to particular types of relationships for certain types of people, not for the bigger picture, because there are many, many different groups of people that are coming in and saying, because this one got exempted, then we also think we should, rather than saying, here's the type of relationship that is or is not covered. And it's very hard to apply to just certain types of, you know, like a pharmacist, for example, in one setting and a pharmacist in another setting. If I don't know, and I'm clearly mean this, how to direct my staff on what is it that's different. And we have never had, and I mean this very, very clearly, we've never had those kinds of real discussions about how it would apply to other instances, because that's what we have to do. Because people are sometimes half and half of types of positions. There are all kinds of different kinds of relationships in the real world. And we've never really had those kinds of conversations. We've had cases that have had people attached to them that we're mostly taught. I had just very, very recently a discussion, and I think I've talked to you, Senator, about that, that a different member that is than is here today actually had a participant or a constituent that had people that would work in home care. And that was one that they did not believe was an independent contractor status. And there was a lot of, you know, sort of temp agency involvement or non-TIP agency involvement, and as we worked through that, and we spent almost 2 hours in a member's office trying to work through when they would be and when they wouldn't be, and we really have not had those very comprehensive discussions.
Well, but you see the frustration from the legislature.
Mm-hmm, I do.
And at this point, you haven't really addressed it. Is there some way that you can come back perhaps next session with some ideas or suggestions?
Absolutely. I think that where we've got a philosophical breakdown is, I have, at least in the letter, you know, a governor that's basically talking about inclusion, and then we're talking exclusion by something. And I don't know whether that's by, you know, for the class of worker or types of work or types of relationship around work, you see, but we could put together like a menu to say, here are common ways people work now, and should those be covered, or something like that. I'd be more than glad to work with
Ms. Talbot, could you give Representative Maddox a copy of the decision you have there? I'm going to, I don't know who's going to be chairing interim committees, but I'm going to recommend to the speaker that this be something that addressed in an interim work committee. If there is a business committee, I would recommend it be in the business committee. If not, one of the many, I'm sure, interim committees that will be on either the House or the Senate side, so we can have this looked at, and then maybe next session we come in with some legislation that we can all live with. Representative Maddox, did you wish to make a statement before we move forward?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just looking at the slip opinion. I appreciate you lending me your copy. The Court of Appeals said quite precisely the Employment Department's argument that it should have latitude to make its own interpretation and application of ORS 670-600 within the context of its statutory mandate, apart from considering another agency's determination involving the same employer, does not comport with the primary purpose of ORS 670-600 and 670-605 to achieve uniformity. Then they cite a case. Then they go on, they say also the Employment Department appears to argue, and they go on to this. Then they say, to the contrary, the court's conclusion was the threshold determination. I pick up this, but at the end, they say, in summary, we interpret ORS 670-600 to require the Employment Department to consider the Department of Revenue's earlier determination and determine whether its later proposed decision is consistent or inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And then they explain that that needs to be done.
And that's, as me understand, Mr. Chair, what we now need to look at about whether it is or is not consistent.
And then at the end it says reversed and remanded for reconsideration. So the Employment Department's decision was reversed, the case is remanded, and they've given you a standard. Well, it just seems to me that what the Employment Department was saying before was it did not have to give consideration to the Revenue Department's determination, and the Court of Appeals is now saying that you do. You have to give consideration to it. And if you aren't going to follow it, you have to give findings. Well, I'll let you have that back. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. The Chair would move that the House concur in the Senate amendments dated July 17th and the bill be repassed. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objections? None, so order. And we are closed. Yes, signed.
You signed. Also, I guess Lonique carried the one.
Lonique, the carrier of the House, and I will carry the bill in the House.
Who's carrying the Senate?
Nobody.
It doesn't have to go back to the Senate.
Okay. Thank you.
When I get decisions to say this,
yeah,
I write the word law in the upper right hand corner, and I call my client.
And
I say,
and prepare the file.
I would say I would call the law.
Wait,
too.
We're making it as a state agency.
We got Dukes. We just need Maddox, and then you have to go Chase. Are the mics off? I don't think so.